This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel, and this week we're hearing about the ones that got away, notable music, television, and books that we didn't get a chance to report on this year until now. Today, Glenn Weldon highlights three graphic novels, starting with one called Drama by Raina Telgemeier.
Drama is a young adult graphic novel about a middle school girl named Callie.
What's up?
Who is a complete theater nerd.
I've never seen a live production of Moon Over Mississippi, but I've got the deluxe edition soundtrack, which has a ton of photos from the original Broadway production, and they built this amazing thing.
Okay, Callie, we get it.
And she wants to be part of her middle school play, which is a musical, but she doesn't want to be the star. What she wants is to be the stage manager. She's the set designer. There's a scene toward the center of the book where she auditions for the show. Even though she knows she doesn't want to be the star, she doesn't want to be in the show, she wants to help run the show. But she clambers up on stage and proceeds to audition and sings her guts out, can't sing, blows it completely, and then the next day she's looking at the list in the hallway, and of course she doesn't get the part. And when the mean girls attack her for being a terrible singer...
Could you even believe some of those other girls who tried out? None of them even had a chance.
She upbraids them by saying, you know, this is supposed to be fun.
For your information, I wasn't actually trying out for that part. I was having fun. This is supposed to be fun, remember? Whatever you say.
Don't be rude, Bonnie. We're all gonna have to work together after all.
What, so are you in the play? You don't seem like the type.
I'm gonna be on the stage crew. Thanks to the extra awesome Callie here.
Oh, that makes sense for a brainiac like you.
I am so tempted to start tutoring her in manners instead of science.
What I love about the book is that it comes with the typical YA trappings of, you know, she crushes on the wrong guy and she gets in a fight with her friends. But the really great thing about this is that this girl knows who she is and she is completely unselfconscious.
The dancing part looks hard.
I don't mind the fun kind of dancing, like at school dances where you just jump around and stuff.
If somebody handed this book to me in seventh grade, I still would have been the same self-conscious jerk I am, but it would have helped. It would have helped so much. And another book I brought in was Crackle of the Frost.
I remember it very well. We were on our way back from the beach. My skin was on fire. The car was like an oven, a box made of iron and heat, paralyzed in the middle of traffic.
Crackle of the Frost is much different, much more adult, much more oblique and slightly sinister. This book is about a guy who has spent his life fleeing from responsibility, who slowly comes to terms with responsibility over the course of the book. His ex-girlfriend informs him that she has had a child, and he goes to visit her, and that's the story of the book.
What were my thoughts as the airplane rose into the air? I wasn't thinking about anything. I was gazing at shapes that my memory had retained, as if flipping through the pages of a photo album.
The prose of the book is very German, very restrained, very coolly intellectual. Yet the art is what makes this book sing. The art is lushly, vividly colored with all these gorgeous pastels, working on a level of dream logic, purely emotion. So there's a scene, for example, where the sound of his girlfriend's voice become, in his mind, this flock of shadow birds that chase him through the corridors of his mind in a very creepy way.
Sometimes, without warning, my memory would stumble upon Alice's words.
I want to have a baby with you, Samuel.
And then the noise, again.
There's a scene where, as he's traveling on the bus to meet his girlfriend, the bus stops because there's a forest fire in the way.
The thunder of the flames, the sparks of incandescent resin, the cries of the fleeing animals, the uproar of men driven mad by the fire. The fire was thundering. The fire was surrounded by a bell of silence. Fire and its roar, the forest and its moans.
And there's another scene toward the end of the book where he's attending to his father in the hospital.
My father had purchased, at the age of 84, his first bicycle, His doctor had advised him, for the nth time these past 10 years, to get a little exercise, a little morning walk in the countryside.
So the prose works on a very coolly intellectual level, sort of Thomas Mann or Kazuo Ishiguro, yet the art is pure Kafka and Murakami. It's really grabbing you, and it's not letting you go. It's great. And lastly, Little White Duck, A Childhood in China, is by Na Lu, with art by her husband, Andre Vera Martinez. So this is a memoir of Lu's childhood, very young childhood, in Wuhan, a central Chinese city, in the late 70s. This book takes place at the very end of the Cultural Revolution. The thing that starts off the book is the death of Chairman Mao. And what Lu and Martinez really capture is that there's a conflation of cultural mythology with political mythology. So on one page you have this very young girl trying to live up to the ideal of this propaganda figure called Lei Feng.
He came from humble beginnings, an orphan who was raised by the army. As a young man, Lei Feng always put others before him. He was a selfless individual who would always offer a helping hand to his fellow soldiers and citizens.
And on the very next page, you see this amazing spread of Nian, the lion monster who comes into town every New Year's to gobble up young children.
Long, long ago, there lived a very dangerous monster named Nian. He was bigger than a camel, faster than the wind, roared louder than thunder, and worst of all, it would eat any human or animal that cross its path.
They are equally real in her mind. Just as she's growing up, she thinks of Chairman Mao as her grandfather. The book begins with this image of her and her sister flying over the city on the back of a giant bird.
I would dream about flying a giant golden crane over the city rooftops. Eventually, the large bird would take me and my sister home. After a long flight in the cool night, I didn't want to go back.
What Martinez is doing with the art is very subtle, because the book ends 4 years later, 5 years later, with a very similar image. But what's happened in between in those 4 years is that the city is becoming more and more industrialized. What Lu and Martinez are excellent at capturing is how that looks through a child's eye, a really interesting layered effect there that I really love.
That was Glenn Weldon, author of Superman, the Unauthorized Biography. He was talking about three graphic novels that came out this year, Little White Duck, The Crackle of the Frost, and Drama. You can find more of Glenn Weldon's recommendations at npr.org/bestbooks. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.